Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's us. We're back 90 episodes deep and changing the format up a little bit, things to talk about, all things wrestling, sports, and now one of our favorite things, movies. Been waiting to add this into the podcast for a while. I think it's going to be great. We're going to do overall podcast score, kind of like a pizza review. So we're going to get right into it. So Edwin, you know what time it is. It's time to go to
Is
the
it time to
movie.
get ill or what, huh?
Yep, you know what time it is.
All right. So, hey, guess what? I'm going to read the script right here. Hold on for a second. All right. Hey there,
It's
podcast
available.
fans. Are you ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff. Whether you're a fan of the show or just love that retro feel, we've got something for everybody or everyone, however you want to say it. All right. From bold prints to subtle nods to your favorite personalities, each piece is made with top-notch quality, the timeless style that you crave, perfect for lounging at home or making a statement out and about. And don't wait, our collection is flying off the shelves faster than you can say, don't be cheap, buy a shirt. Visit us now at bonfire.com and grab your favorite before they are gone. Oh yeah, check out the 1973 podcast t-shirt store on YouTube and just click the link below.
Just in time for Christmas, Ed.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, we are getting into the holiday
So
season for sure.
buy a shirt.
Buy a shirt, don't be cheap.
So Ed, we're talking about a great movie this week. Great
Old school.
pick. Talking old school.
Old school.
What's not to like about this movie? I mean, I don't think there's anything not to like about this movie. When I pick a comedy, one of my criteria is it's going to be rated R. And I don't do PG-13 comedies. I don't do PG comedies. It's got to be R because you're at least going to get what makes a comedy. All sarcast, a lot of good one-liners. What does this movie justice for me is it quotable? That's why I like this movie. It's very quotable. The story's great. Quick wit one-liners that you can quote if you're with your buddies or somebody that's in the know. It's old school is for me, I'll rate it. I was thinking about this and I'm thinking about kind of setting a baseline on a scale of 1 to 10 what I would give this movie, and I thought about it, and I don't want to pigeonhole stuff that's coming down the pipe with stuff we're going to talk about, but I'm going to give old school an 8.3 out of 10. 8.3 out of 10. It's got everything that I like in a movie. I watched it again this week because I wanted to. I hadn't watched it in a while. It doesn't have staying power for me. It still holds up, still worth watching. So if you've never seen old school, got to watch it. So I'm going to go to Tom next for your old school review.
All right, I thought it was really good, and I thought Will Ferrell was like the I won't say breakout star because he probably was the most well-known person in the movie to begin with, but his character Frank the Tank is just, I mean, that's who Ed bases his character off of. I mean, come on. But I mean it's got lines that we still say to each other when we see each other. I mean, Frank, you're my boy Blue. I mean, all those lines like that. And the movie really had a lot of people in it that didn't they real small roles, but they turned out to be bigger people like Ellen Pompeo, Simon Helberg, even Sean William Scott wasn't really big. That was before, I think it might have been right around the first American Pie movie. And the kind of a 6 degrees of separation thing, Rob Corddry's in it playing one of his co-workers, and my wife Kelly went to high school with him, and
Oh shit.
she's got prom pictures with him. She didn't go to the prom with him, but they were at the prom taking pictures together. So I got to add my score up a little bit higher than I probably would because I mean I'm a tough critic, but I'm going to give it a 7.9.
7.9 from Thomas. All right. We're going to go Shaggy. Old
Yeah,
school review.
I'll say the same thing. Like so many quotables I haven't seen in years, but it's still like all the quotes you can remember. Like you're my boy, like you're saying, you're my boy Blue, all of them. It's like you said, even if you haven't watched it in a while, like you still remember it all these years later. I'm gonna
I'm going to give it like an 8.1 since our first movie we're reviewing. I'm kind of like in between you guys.
Yeah, I we should have done Halloween last week for a review, but we're going to start with week two of this. So,
yeah,
Raymond, your review of Old School.
I haven't seen it in a while, and to tell you the truth, I've never seen the whole thing from start to finish. I caught it, and I've probably seen two-thirds of it. To give it a score would be unfair to it because I haven't seen the whole thing. But liking what I did see, and yeah, screw it. I'd give it a good 8.
Okay, solid rookie score from Ray. Scotty, Old School review.
All right, yeah, so I feel like I lived it a little bit. I got single right around the time this movie came out, and I was like, that's how you do it? Like, but also, I had started this softball league. I was playing in the softball league with this guy. He was in his 70s, and he was still playing with us. And he wore a winter glove on his hand because he had a stroke, and he didn't have quite movement of it. And so we would always kind of put him at first base, and I'd be yelling, "You're my boy, Blue!" And he had no clue what I was saying, but I would do it every game. And then I would yell at him, I'm like, "Blue, I got a 65-year-old in the minor leagues waiting to take your spot." But no, I love the movie. It's good. A lot of good moments. I'm gonna give it an 8.3.
Oh,
I'll go with you, Andy, there. Yeah.
All right, 8.3 on the nose. Edward, big things. It was your pick. What do you got?
I have to say, it is such a quotable movie. Some of the scenes were just so awesome. You know, the one-liners from Frank the Tank, you know, when it touches your lips, you know, we got to keep this on the down low. Hey, we're going streaking, you know, bring it back.
Earmuffs, Max.
Yeah. I mean, bring it back to Eric and Raheem, you know, got paid, you know, and then when they whip around in the van, and they kidnap everybody back for initiation. And like, you know, when Will Ferrell like jumps out, like, and he comes back, that's okay. We'll bring him back by like 7 or whatever, you know? You know, it just, the movie just flowed. It just kind of spoke to you kind of in that Animal House-esque kind of way. You know, it just had like that really kind of good flow. And it's funny when you did a little research on it, like you see that the critics hated it. And the thing is, like, you know, and I was like, man, I was like, how do you hate this movie? It just flows nicely. And you know, the star power in it was great. And just how everything flowed, I just thought it was just such an entertaining movie. So I'm going to give it, you know, since it's the first movie, you know, like El Presidente, you know, at first, I'm going to go a little harder. I'm going to go a 7.9.
7.9 from Ed. All right. We got to go to the Phantom. I'm expecting big things too, Phantom. Let's go.
What's not to like about Animal House on a midlife crisis? No, I'm big fan of it. It's, you know, they kind of took a new school movie and used the old school format of all the, you know, the frat movies and stuff that we grew up with. So what's not to like? It's got some swearing. It's got some drinking. It's got some boobies. A bunch of my favorite things. I'll come in with an 8.3.
Nice. Seems to be a popular score. All right, Bradford, young man in the group. Not a fan of Old School or a big fan of Old School?
It is actually one of my top 10 favorite comedies ever made. I was in Saudi Arabia when this movie dropped. And before it released in America, the USO did a tour through the Middle East, and we got to watch it on base in our little, you know, desert warfare fucking theater. And so we didn't know what it was because we were overseas for so long. We didn't see commercials, right? We didn't know the media blitz up to, we didn't know what it was. They're like, there's a Will Ferrell movie. We're like, who's Will Ferrell? Is that funny guy from Saturday Night Live? All right, you know, let's go watch it. Became everybody's personality for like the next 4 years. This movie launched the Frat Pack movie franchises, right? Will Ferrell, Luke Wilson, Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn, Paul Rudd, that whole crew of guys, they went on to just make movie after movie after movie. And it was an era of hilarious movies. You had The Wedding Singer, or not The Wedding Singer, fuck that movie. You had The Wedding Crashers, you had Talladega Nights, you had Anchorman, you had The 40-Year-Old Virgin, you had all these movies where everybody was cameo in helping each other's movies out, and it has made them infinitely more hilarious. But this movie, we can look back and say this movie started that whole genre, you know, building up. Also, I think it was the Phantom mentioned Animal House. And so in the 90s, there was actually a movie called PCU.
Yes.
You're a movie buff.
Yep.
That was the 90s version of Animal House and starred Jeremy Piven, who was the Animal House rambunctious guy on campus who played the dean in Old School. And Old School was the 2000s version of PCU. So frat pack movie formula. And you know what? We don't get movies like this anymore, because now, you know, I've listened to a couple podcasts, comedians come out and they've admitted like comedies don't sell. They tank in the theaters nowadays. And it's because people are so used to these Disney, Marvel, CGI, 3-hour fucking epic movies with all this explosions and graphics going on that people won't sit through an hour and a half. The old school formula for a successful movie was 90 minutes.
Yep.
90 minute movie. That's what you got. That's a good comedy, rom-com, whatever you want to call it. Even an action flick. 90 minutes, you're out. Now movies are 3 hours long. That's what people want. We don't get movies like old school anymore. And I don't know if we ever will. I don't know who the next frat pack is going to be, because there aren't people that, you know, those guys, Vince Vaughn, Will Ferrell, they weren't just in comedies. They were in everything at that time, man. And I don't know if we're going to get another group of guys.
Step Brothers was probably the last one in that genre.
Who's that?
Step Brothers. Yeah, I love that one.
Step Brothers.
Yep. They were supposed to make a second one. And Dave Kocher, you know who Dave Kocher is from Anchorman? He did the sports, had the cowboy hat on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was supposed to play Dale's brother. Dale's cousin. And the three of them were supposed to, but it never came to fruition. And again, at that time, everybody was doing everything and trying to wrangle those three in to do one movie. But it was probably tough.
So my rating, because I'm a self-proclaimed amateur movie buff, and this movie kicked off a generation of movies, I got to give it an 8.5, man. I watched it tonight with my wife, and even before I had a bourbon, I was laughing my ass off. Some of the lines and stuff didn't stand the test of time, like when the old boys and Luke Wilson's in the back of the cab, and he's like, hey, sir, your seatbelt doesn't work. What do you recommend I do? And the cabbie turns around and says, stop being a... Yeah. I'm like, oh, that would never work in today's movies.
Yeah.
Well, Brad, but, to circle back on what you said about, you know, about movies and everything like that, I think a couple of things play into that. Number one, too many options.
Yeah.
Too many options, like on TV, on the internet, like streaming services and everything like that. So, you know, I mean, think about, like, for most of us that are sitting here on this panel, on exception of you, Brad, like on Saturday Night Live was pretty much it. Cause that, like, for a long time, you know, I think you may have been too, when, you know, when we all started watching Saturday.
TV went off the air after that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you had the big kaleidoscope that was on there. And then
National anthem and go home.
National anthem, yeah.
And then you had to wait for the next one to hear the Beatles, you know, Here Comes the Sun.
So, Tom, were you able to tally an overall score for that all together with everybody's scores?
8.16.
Okay. 8.1 or 8.2, we'll round up.
We got to pump those numbers up, fellas. Pump those numbers up.
Tommy's save percentage.
Yeah. Unless it's against you, because I didn't have to make a save because you went wide left, wide right.
So Old School gets an 8.2 from the podcast. Where I can see this is going to be a really good segment going forward. So 8.2 for Old School. good baseline to start with. We got some stuff that's classic that'll probably blow that out. But Thomas, what's your pick for next week?
Now, question, does Amity?
No. It's your pick.
Better not be Gone with the Wind.
No, Ocean's 11.
Lifetime Movie Channel.
All right.
Ooh.
Ocean's okay. 11, all right.
I thought he was going to say The Notebook.
The original, the one with
The Notebook.
Which one?
Not the original one. The one
not Frankie? God forbid,
all them.
We're not going from the frat pack to the brat pack? So, all right. So, your homework for next week. Be ready. Ocean's 11. The remake. So, I'm going to kick to Brad. Thoughts on Crown Jewel?
That was probably the worst 3 hours of wrestling I've ever watched in my life. I get it. WWE had to pay the piper. Whatever crack deal, back alley, hand job deal they have with Saudi Arabia where they got to pay their rent. They had to do these stupid Crown Jewel belts, and they don't even get to bring the belts home. All they got was a stupid ring to wear in place. The belts are staying in the country. Nothing exciting happened. The women's match was horrendous. I lost count of how many botched moves there were in that match. We didn't even get Randy Orton and KO because Randy Orton got hurt. I looked down at my phone and looked up, and he was being carted off out of the ring, so I don't even know what happened. Every match was boring. I rarely say this, but I hated this PLE. And it is just an annual suck fest. I don't remember Crown Jewel ever being exciting, to be honest with you. At the last second, they added a Bloodline 6-man tag match, and we thought we were going to get – I got hyped for that. I was not interested in Crown Jewel whatsoever. I wasn't even planning on watching until they added the Bloodline thing. I was like, maybe we're going to get some action with this. Rumors were flying of other Samoans showing up, The Rock showing up, and everything. I watched it, and it was the first match of the night. So immediately when they came out, I knew nothing big was going to happen because they don't drop big stuff in the first, 5 minutes of the PLE. But then I kept watching like a sucker because I kept expecting them to cut to the back because something big was going to be happening backstage. Boy, was I wrong. That was not a good 3 hours, and I don't know if I could get that time back. I wasted my whole afternoon. It was 3.5 hours. I think it's 3.5. Fucking
so
sucked.
I didn't get a chance to watch it, Brad, so I don't have too much input.
Don't watch
it. I was double booked. I probably won't watch it now. I was only interested in the Cody Gunther match, or should I say Walter?
It was a good match, but
yeah,
it was worthless. A completely pointless match. Cody's title defense. Who has he wrestled? Kevin Owens, Gunther, AJ Styles. I mean, it has been not even a worthwhile title defense so far. Like, it has been boring. And I'm a huge Cody fan. Like, it sucks.
Yeah, I gotta agree with Brad. That was totally buns. That thing was garbage.
It was bad.
So bad. All the matches sucked, except for the Cody match at the end was pretty decent. Unlike Brad, I do like the concept of the two champions fighting against each other for like a world champion, like a world series of champions, and then they just get the rings. So as time goes on, if you happen to win like three of them, you'll be like, I got like four like championship rings or whatever. So I kind of like the concept of it, but as far as all the other stuff, the women's match, horrendous, so bad.
It was so bad.
Waste of time.
Speaking of garbage, let's talk about Vince McMahon episode 5. I'm watching this, and it's based around the family dynamic of, Vince and mostly Shane, and they're kind of contrasting and comparing the relationship of Vince with his father and Shane, and they even said that, I think two people had mentioned on the episode that Shane was the black sheep of the family, always got rubbed the kind of like the wrong way and stuff like that. Paul Heyman tells a great story in that about, Vince telling him about, having friction at the meeting and telling him if you wanted to take the, here's the knife, stab me in the heart right now. And I had heard that the reason why Shane had left in 2009 was he was uncomfortable at that time with how Vince was with the female talent. And he didn't want to be part of the dragnet if there ever was one. So give the guy credit if that's true, why he left in 2009. So I'll open it up to you guys to talk about your thoughts on that episode. Shaggy, you want to jump in?
Oh, so yeah, Shane's the black sheep of the family because he actually has feelings and cares about other human beings. Like, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like, it's unreal. Oh.
Yeah. I don't think anybody watched that and came away from it not feeling bad for Shane.
Yeah.
Between him always looking for that approval from his father and then just, you know, fast forward to like now where it's like Stephanie and Triple H, or more so Triple H, is the one that's running his family, his father's business that really it was probably his place to run, or Stephanie, but it's just crazy how when Vince talks about his father and he pretty much just like repeated the same thing. When Vince was crying in one of the earlier episodes that he got like a little bit of his father's approval, then like Shane's jumping off shit at like pushing 50 years old to get his father to pop for for one of his matches is insane.
Yeah, I had heard a small story about Shane that he was like a really good athlete growing up. He was really good at football, and he actually played hockey growing up too. And it was one of those things that Vince never ever really attended a lot of the stuff because of the work schedule and things like that. So I'm sure there's a lot of underlining problems that aren't really addressed as this documentary has been consistent with, that the stuff that you really want to see, they kind of, leave open-ended and don't kind of give you enough, to each story that they're throwing at. Tom, do you have any input on that episode?
Well, first, this documentary has been a total waste of time, to be honest with you. They have not thrown one interesting, or a fact that people don't know if they put any kind of research. You don't even have to do a lot of research. This is all recycled stuff. But it kind of insinuated that there was an incestual thing, and they kind of insinuated that it was his mom, which, thinking back, I always thought it was his dad, the way he always talked.
I think they said both.
Yeah, and not his biological father, his stepfather, just to be clear. Yeah. Scott, did you end up watching any of it?
Oh, yeah. No, I watched it. So for those who don't know, I'm a therapist by background. And there's like, this is almost Shakespearean, right? They say there's only probably like 7 actual stories ever written, and everything's a basis off of that. And to see the level of, you got a guy who was abused, who was, desiring, attention, need for focus, all of that. And just to become this, you give him power, you give him money, and now he's just got this power unchecked. And he's kind of now this a bit of a megalomaniac. And he doesn't see the fact of writing a storyline where he impregnates his daughter. And he doesn't see a problem with that. Like, I'm not as in tune with wrestling as you guys are, but watching this was actually fascinating for me, and just to see kind of the psychosis of this individual and how in any other environment, remove the money, remove the power. This is just some sick, crazy tinfoil hat guy who's talking on the 1973 podcast.
Oh, Brad.
Got fired.
But essentially, when you have the money, when you have the power, you let your psychosis, you let your mania kind of out there, and then people have to cater to it. So, yeah, I found it fascinating. I find this is a very sick individual, and we're just all watching the modern day, drama of it. Not like something else we're watching right now, come Tuesday.
Allegedly.
Was this the episode where he talked about how he had like multiple voices or whatever in his head? He had like different storylines in his head going on at the same time or something?
No,
was this the episode?
No,
not this one. Spoiler alert.
That was fucked up shit. I was like, what?
We'll have to save that for the last episode next week.
Sorry. Sorry.
The thing I found crazy too is he contradicts himself so much. Like he says, what I say and what I think is two different things. So why don't you just sound really intelligent with what your responses are rather than trying to get a reaction out of people wanting to stab you in the fucking face. It's like he didn't like what WCW was doing to him, but then the person had the balls enough to say, well, isn't that what you did with the territories? And he's like, oh, that's a different thing. It's what do you mean it's not different? What's wrong with you? Ray, did you end up watching any of the episodes?
Yeah. I actually watched 1 through 4 this week. And some of the things that he did was insane. And he will never have said, well, I didn't try this. He tried everything. You know, but one thing that really stuck out to me, it was the second episode going to court, that Chappaquiddick neck brace. That thing was awesome.
he took a page right from Bobby. I swear to God,
I could put my hand on that thing. He's a shit show and a half. But
that story's not done either, because that stuff's still more stuff's coming out, and I think the celebrity news with the same type of thing that's going on is kind of taking a little bit of light away from the whole McMahon thing, because it was hot for a little while there when we first started talking about it. Bradford, thoughts on episode 5? I'm waiting.
Now, Vince McMahon, now here's a guy, got abused by, physically, mentally abused by his stepdad, sexually abused by his mother, allegedly, completely twisted, mind fucked for his whole life. Had a real dad who didn't really love him, wasn't present. He's always striving for affection and acceptance. And he comes out and he's like, I'm gonna put all that in the past. That's what I do. I put it in the past. I don't look back. And then proceeds to treat his own children the way his real dad treated him. Like giving them the same. No love, no sell, no affection, you know, nothing you ever do will ever be good enough. Like after watching that episode, I was like, I hope Shane goes to AEW and turns it into a powerhouse production. Like I hope he does that. I hope that's not just rumor. I hope he does it. And because now Vince is talking about opening up another show somewhere, doing some bullshit. And I hope Shane goes and does that, man. But they very lightly got into like the aura and like the background events. Like they started talking about this stuff, they got really heavy, really deep, and then they jumped to something else. They very lightly sprinkled in some Sable sexual harassment controversy stuff, some Trish Stratus sexual harassment stuff. I'm like, let's get deep on it. And they're like, nah, let's cut to the next thing. And I was like, come on, man. Like again, it was a lot of stuff we already knew. Nothing was surprising. Nothing was and Vince McMahon, like, I don't think he has a conscience. He literally said in the show, oh, I'm gonna put it in the past. I'm not like that anymore. There's a difference between me and Vince and Vince, the character. And then they cut to Triple H or Shane or Stephanie one. And they're like, no, they're the same people. I was like, oh, shit.
And can you have your wedding on pay-per-view?
Yeah. Right.
He's living in
his own fantasy, man. Oh, like, yeah. That's yeah.
The thing that I thought that they were spot on with, and I'm glad it got in there, because I'm sure I'd love to see the stuff that got cut out of that documentary. They kind of built the thing where everything they've done outside of wrestling has been a failure, going all the way back to the Evel Knievel jump, and they didn't mention that. But everything that XFL, the World Bodybuilding Federation, everything's been a failure, except the one time that Shane comes to him and says, you know what we should do? We should buy the UFC. And he goes, nope, that's not us. We can't make characters out of that. That's regular sports. If you want to put your own money into it, but you don't have enough, no thank you. And what's the return on the UFC?
Right.
Like billions of dollars.
Yep.
And so it makes you wonder with the Shane thing, like, how much of fuck you to him does he have to prove? Like, is he finally going to come full circle and be like everything Vince was, but more, not in a bad way, but like, I've had all these good ideas that you've suppressed all these years, and now I'm going to take them and run with it. So, I mean, out of all the McMahons, he was always my favorite. I always thought Shane was like the type of dude that you could really have a conversation with. And Stephanie always seemed to be a lot like Vince. That's just my take on it, which isn't really good for Triple H, but that's a whole nother thing.
Well, I was wondering in like Vince's head, like the way he treats his kids. He's like, well, I wonder if he's like, well, fuck it. This is how I grew up. And look at the man I became. I'll do it to them and see if they can do the same thing. Yeah. I wonder if that's what he's thinking.
Yeah. I would like to see what I never did a dive into it, but maybe Tom knows that. What did Shane get into when he left in 2009? What kind of business ventures did he get into? Like something to do with electronics or something like that,
I'll have to look that up. I really don't know.
Okay.
Decent tranquility.
Yeah, right.
You know, the thing that's funny, Andy, too, is, and you know they're only going to go so far with it with the Netflix, with it being on Netflix, is like anything else. When there's any kind of scandal, whether it was like Sadusky and like Joe Pa, he knew stuff, but he wasn't the one doing it.
Right.
He knew everything that was going on. He got buried. The stuff with the Blackhawks, all the coach and any of the guys that were in the front office, all gone. So Vince is doing this stuff, especially when he was in charge. Everybody in those locker rooms must know what he was up to. I'm sure there's some stuff that's behind the scenes that nobody knows, but I'm sure there's a lot of whispering going on like any other workplace. And you got like Nick Khan, Triple H, Stephanie. They all, you think they don't know what happened, but they're like untouchable. So it's like, yeah, they're not really going to get into anything deep on the documentary, even though a lot of it was getting filmed ahead of time because they know all the secrets. And at some point, if it gets real bad when it goes to court, they might all be fucked.
Some culpability.
Yeah.
Right. And Tony Atlas.
just bring in Tony Atlas.
Bring back Tony Atlas.
Tony Atlas and Conan.
Tony Atlas, the star witness.
Grandma Pecker.
But I'm going to ask you guys this, though. Don't you guys find it funny how it's the sexual harassment stuff against Sable, and she's married to Brock Lesnar?
Well,
very true.
That might be their kink.
How about as part of the allegations, Brock Lesnar was mentioned in the case that, you know, allegedly there was some payola to bring Brock Lesnar back into the fold, right? I'm trying to tiptoe around the actual, you know.
Well, see, when you guys were saying that he might come back to wrestling, I'm like, how? I thought he was named in that suit and stuff and.
I don't know. There's so many people that have sued Vince that they've brought him back. So, I mean, everybody from the Ultimate Warrior to, you know, even the Bruno thing, and then give credit where credit's due. Triple H is the one that's doing all the damage control to bring these guys back.
They kind of touched on it a little bit too. A lot of this stuff with these wacky storylines and all this is so, like, when they do go to court, Vince is just going to be like, This stuff's all just storylines. All these people are getting the stuff for stuff they've seen on TV. That none of this stuff's true.
Right.
Everybody thinks I'm a deviant because I played a deviant on television. That's on my, you know what I mean? It's all like strategic. All the, you know, he's making all these angles of the stuff that he's really doing behind the scenes, and it's just like, oh, no.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah, makes sense, man. Right. That makes perfect sense.
Write it in the script.
Yep, a number two on somebody's back, allegedly, so. That's about as deviant as you can get.
That's just nasty. That's just nasty.
So next week, we'll wrap it up. Episode 6, we should get a couple surprises in there or something, I would hope. Or
I wouldn't hold your breath on that.
Don't hold your breath, yeah.
So, Thomas, your turn for some sports talk, with starting with some shitty picks. Take it away.
All righty. Here we go. Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything is brewed in-house, including their hard iced teas, their beers, vodka sodas, and their hard seltzers. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you.
Can we just
get the order right here?
Can we give Chris a little shit? He was just down the road and he'd even make it over.
Chris is going through some stuff, allegedly. I don't even know what it is, but every time I ping him a couple of times, he's got issues. So
I'm
Thomas,
gonna call him out because my family, who was in the same hockey tournament, I'm gonna say he was an Anthony Richardson, just a little too tired. And couldn't make it.
He tapped out. Damn.
But I did hook him up with some beer.
Scotty, I will be out your way in May for another hockey tournament at the Gretzky Arena in Ontario. So we'll have to hook up then.
Perfect.
All right. So Thomas, do your thing, chicken wing.
All right. Well, I wasn't here last week, so I needed a mental break from you jackasses, but I'm back at 100%. My college picks last like 5 weeks. Yes.
Allegedly.
So we've got a therapist here. He might be able to help me out here. I'm 4-1 with my college picks so far. I'm going to go with two games this week because I'm going chalk with both games. There's not really too many good games coming up this next week. So I'm going Alabama versus LSU. I'm going to go with Alabama. I just think LSU
sucks.
The coach can't win the big game. He's never been able to really win the big game. And their defense, I think, is not going to be able to hold up on Alabama. The second game, I'm going Georgia over Ole Miss. The game's in Ole Miss, but I don't think Ole Miss's defense can handle Alabama. I think Jackson Dart is awesome quarterback for Mississippi, but I just don't think they're going to be able to.
Five tutties today.
What's that?
What did it play?
He threw five tutties. That's almost
it. Kansas today.
Oh, okay. I mean, UMass?
Five tutties is five tutties. Don't hate.
They played UMass?
They played Arkansas. Dude, five tutties. Don't be angry. Heisman Trophy candidate. But they're going to lose to Georgia. I will say that.
So, go ahead, Andy.
Oh, sorry. World Series talk. Scotty, you want to weigh in on some World Series to put a pin in that season?
Oh, it was sweet. It was sweet. Seeing the Yankees did blip for one game and all of that sort, but it was, I was saying earlier, my favorite team is the Red Sox. My second favorite team is anybody playing the Yankees. And to see the Yankees just suck constantly. And it was funny because it wasn't even the big guys. None of the big guys. Like Ohtani, he was hurting, right? You could see that he was hurting. He hung in there and he was playing well, but it was just awesome to see. And then, of course, the entertainment. What was it? Game four, the hockey thugs, the New York hockey thugs, essentially trying to rip the ball out of Mookie's hands. It was just so much fun. It was awesome. I love the game. And it was probably one of the few World Series that I've watched since the Sox have been in it. It's been hard to watch some of the games, and you got basically the Yankees of the West Coast versus the Yankees of the East Coast because of the salaries and all of that stuff. So no, happy to see the Yankees lose, and all you Yankees fans, you suck.
You heard it here first. Buy some beer. anybody want to weigh in on the Gronk story? I'm sure we can get eclectic with that one.
I think it was the most Yankees thing ever that their fans tried to yank the ball from out of Mookie Betts' glove. And then to find out that Gronkowski was friends with the guy is the most Gronkowski thing ever. Like, this guy is
Yui.
Yeah, Gronkowski's a living legend, dude. Like, have y'all seen the guy that plays him in that?
Yes,
spot on. That is a show, Andy, we need to watch and review.
I mean, because
the guy they got to play Gronk is his actual stunt double from other shows.
Yeah, and it looks like
he ate his fair share of tinfoil in his day. This one,
yeah, it's not even a caricature, dude. It is spot on.
Yeah.
What show is that? I haven't caught that one.
Is it on Netflix?
It's the Aaron Hernandez story.
Many of those stories.
This one is like Hollywood produced. It's got a bunch of actors. There's no real actual athletes in it. And the guy they picked to play Bill Belichick is hilarious. So it's worth watching because it's getting just right. panned by the critics. Like, it's been memed. People hate it. It's hilarious.
It's horrible.
It didn't come across as like this actual storytelling of Aaron Hernandez at all. So I got to find out what streaming platform it is, though. But it's worth a watch just because it's funny.
It's so sure. It's like Sharknado. It's so bad. It's good.
Yeah. For sure.
All right. So that's the end of the World Series for this year. We'll move on to what we do every week during football season. And Thomas, you're back at the helm. Let's bring the ship back. The Phantom filled in for you last week, and he was a mess.
He's a hot mess.
Damn. I heard the roof.
I think you did fine.
You were the Reggie Lemlin to Tom's Andy Moog.
Wow. Wow.
Aeroflex pads and all.
And a bad mustache.
Well, first of all, after 8 weeks, the standings are very close. Brad's in first. He's 85-38. Andy's second, 83-40. Ryan, the Phantom's on a heater right now. In the last 2 weeks, the Phantom's gone, I think, 27-3. He's in third. He's 82-41.
Ed is picking the Cowboys.
Ed is 81-41. I'm 77-46.
Push up the muscle.
And Shaggy is 69-33.
69!
So I sent you guys the five games we're picking just so you guys, if you want to do your homework or whatnot. But game one, Washington Commanders at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Andy.
I'm going Commando.
All right. Shaggy.
I actually wrote mine down so I text you the rest of it. I don't forget what the fuck I picked. I'm going the Redskins.
All righty. Ray.
Pittsburgh.
All righty. Scotty?
That's a tough one. After watching the Commanders pull it out of their ass, I'm going to say Commanders as well.
All righty. Ed?
I'm going with the Steelers.
All righty. Brad?
First of all, y'all need to acknowledge your tribal chief. I've been in first place all season. Acknowledge me right now.
I got to say, I love how you picked this week's games here. Send me a text that just give me all home teams. So I can tell you already did your homework.
I've watched zero football this year because we have tournaments every weekend. And even on weekends when we don't have it, we're doing other stuff. I mean, fishing, bike riding, practicing, soccer. It's something. So I've
got zero that football. Beat, though. I got that beat. I haven't watched a game since Rich Gannon was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. It's been a while. No.
I know for a fact it was the Snow Bowl game because we were watching it together.
I was sleeping.
It's been a while. I spent the first 30 minutes of work every Monday, like looking up who won, what happened, what was the big news. So for this game, both 6-2. Russ Wilson is actually balling out since he came back. A lot of people thought he was going to kind of choke and kind of fade out and fizzle out from the spotlight. Jaden Daniels is a freaking star. If he's healthy, I think the Commanders will win. I don't know, man. That this one is going to be split right down the middle, pretty close, but I'm going with the Commanders.
All righty. Phantom.
I'm going with the Steelers.
Okay.
Now, Tommy, there should have been a whole little piece on that freaking cornerback or safety for the Chicago.
Oh, God, for the Bears, who was just
basically waving to the fans as the game's going on. Like, that should have been a segment here.
High school shit. Jesus.
That guy should have got caught.
Yeah.
Yep.
At least blind.
I'm going with the Commanders.
Belichick was his coat.
Yeah.
I read a stat today that Jaden Daniels is the second player in NFL history to have 1,500 yards passing and 400 yards of rushing through their first eight games of their career. With, ironically, the other player was another Commanders quarterback. It was RG3. So I'm going to go with Washington. Next game.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to compare him to RG3, that is not going to bode well for his career.
He's going to say my knees.
Yeah. Next game, Thursday night game, Baltimore Ravens at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. Andy.
Ravens? Question mark.
All righty. Shaggy?
I'm picking Ravens. They at least win one each time I pick them.
All righty. Ray?
Ravens, please.
All righty. Scotty?
Well, no, Cincinnati got beat by New England, so you just got to go Baltimore.
All righty. Ed?
Man, you want to talk about hot and cold? That's Baltimore, man. But and they're a better team than Cincy is, and Cincy can't seem to stop the run to save their life. So Baltimore can run the ball, so I'm going to go Baltimore.
All righty. Brad?
Yeah, same thing as Ed. Bengals, I think, are a little bit hot and cold, more hot now that Joe Burrow's back. He has a more of a rhythm with Ja'Marr Chase. Ravens, every time you want them to win, they lose. And every time
they're going to lose. Cowboys, by the way.
Yeah, every time they lose, you know, or every time you think they're going to win, they lose. And when you think they're going to lose, they win. Anyway, Baltimore.
All righty. Phantom?
Quote the Ravens.
All right.
Nevermore?
I agree. I'm going nice. With the Ravens. The Ravens got to stop trying to try to be smarter than everyone in the room and try to, like, throw the ball. You got Derrick Henry on the team. Run the damn ball 35 times a game. I mean, the guy's unbelievable.
Hey, Tom, yes. Before you move on, and we were talking about the Ravens, it just reminded me there's a documentary coming out about Raven. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for it. It looks fantastic. Work on that, but I just wanted to put that in there.
Yep. All right, next game, New Orleans Saints at home against the Atlanta Falcons. Andy.
Falcons.
All righty. Shaggy.
Dirty Birdie.
All righty. Ray.
Saints.
All righty. Scotty.
Just not trusting New Orleans. I'm going to Atlanta.
All righty. Ed.
I mean, the Dennis Allen watch should be on right now. I mean, I don't know what pictures he's got on Mickey Loomis, to say the least. So I'm going with Atlanta. You have to have half of the brain.
All righty. Brad?
Not the Dennis Rose watch, right?
Dennis. The Saints had two good games this season. One of them was against the Cowboys. They've been shit ever since. I got to go with the Falcons, man. It's too high-flying, high-powered of an offense. Bijan Robinson is playing great football. Their defense, I think, is so-so, but with New Orleans and who's their quarterback going to be? They have an atrocious O-line right now. I think Atlanta pulls this one out, even though it's in New Orleans.
All righty. Phantom.
I was going to say, to Brad, unfortunately, we didn't know at the time, but when the Saints beat the Cowboys, they probably were shit then, too.
They probably were.
So, I'm not going with the Saints. I'll take Atlanta.
I'm going with the Saints. David Carr is coming back. He's back this week. It's in New Orleans. I think they're going to – Atlanta's weird. They play down to their competition a lot. So I'm going – Kirk Cousins a little banged up. He's got banged up ribs. So I'm going with New Orleans. Next game, Arizona Cardinals at home against the New York Jets. Andy.
I haven't picked them yet. I don't think the share, so I'll go with Cardinals.
All righty. Shaggy.
The Jets got their one win they're going to get last week. I'm going with the Cardinals.
All righty. Ray?
Cardinals.
All righty. Scotty?
Hate everything New York, Cardinals.
All righty. Ed?
I don't know why I'm going to do this. Man, and I hate doing this, but I'm going to go with the Jets.
You want ayahuasca?
They got a good defense, man. And, even though Murray is like – he's been throwing the ball, and he's in the top 10 in completion percentage in the league. I don't know, the Jets.
It's because you like watching them on Pat McAfee the next week.
Brad.
I think the Jets are really good at beating up on really bad teams, and I think the Cardinals are just average enough that they'll squeak by.
All righty. Ryan.
Jets.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going with the Jets as well. I think I think Sauce Gardner, the only receiver that scares me on Arizona is Marvin Harrison. I think Sauce Gardner can shut him down. I'm going to go with the Jets, even though I can't stand Aaron Rodgers. And I hope he gets the friggin' Tabasco drink in his damn eyes. I can't stand him. All right, AC, I believe. Oh, wait, one more game. Sorry. Kansas City Chiefs at home against the Denver Broncos. Andy.
I guess the Chiefs.
You want to go from 5 picks to 4 picks?
All righty. Shaggy.
I'm hoping Chiefs can finally lose a game, so I'm going with the Broncos.
All righty. Ray?
Broncos.
All righty. Scotty?
Taylor Swift's team.
All righty. Ed?
Well, I mean, this has the potential that they could actually lose, but I'm going to go with the Kansas City referees, please.
Okay. Brad?
Bro, you know who I'm going to pick. Chiefs undefeated. The wifey just went to the Eras concert, brought me back some swag. Can't wait to bust this out once it finally drops below 60. Yo, that's a Taylor Swift hoodie, dog. Andy, why you?
So
you want
gay.
Me to send you one? You want me to send you one? Taking the cheese, baby. All day.
I got four tickets.
You know what? I tap into that military pension. So
I got four tickets to Taylor Swift here in Toronto.
Oh, you got a nice one.
I sold two of them for $7,000.
Oh, wow. Wait.
Nice.
Scotty, for tax purposes, allegedly.
Allegedly. I donated that money right to a charity.
She got her tickets for $65. She worked the system, boys.
Holy.
Phantom.
Don't talk bad about Travis Kelce or his brother will come kick your ass.
Yeah, he will.
And break your phone.
I don't think Denver's ready for the Chiefs yet, so I'm going Chiefs.
I'm going to take KC, but I think it's going to be a closer game than most people think. So the clean sweep for the – oh, no, not a clean sweep for the podcast, but – all right, AC, that's it.
Well, it's time to, play the Twilight Zone music. It's time to get your tinfoil hat on. It's time to do a deep dive into the world of Brad and the tinfoil hat. Take it away, Thomas.
All right. Brad's tinfoil hat conspiracy of the week is brought to you by the book Loving Elliot, a fitting tribute to undying love written by our very own Andy Clark, available on Amazon.com. Elliot was the oldest special needs Jack Russell Terrier when he passed away at the age of 21.
First person to buy a book, Raymond. Just saying. Back in the day, first guy to buy a book was Ray Tatro right there.
Still got it, there buddy. You go. Still got it.
I don't check into the library.
So, did y'all check out the Trump Joe Rogan podcast?
Yes.
Not yet.
Very, very entertaining. Worth a listen whether you support the guy or not. One thing about Trump, dude knows how to work a crowd. He can speak offhand, no cue cards, no teleprompter, very well spoken. But in the middle of that podcast, he referenced William McKinley and how William McKinley was assassinated. And I was like, hold up, I only know of two presidents that were assassinated, Lincoln and JFK. There's been four. McKinley and Garfield. So I was like, why? We pretty much know why JFK got assassinated. We know why Lincoln was assassinated. Like, we've been down those conspiracy roads. So, like, why were McKinley and Garfield assassinated? So I had to do some research. So, starting with James Garfield, 20th president, he was known for several key accomplishments despite his brief tenure in office. He was a dark horse candidate. He was not supported by either. There were two factions in the Republican Party. Neither faction supported him. Nobody expected him to win the primary to be their choice for election, and he won. He's a dark horse candidate. Who does that sound like? Sounds like Donald Trump to me, guys. It's like history repeating itself. They just keep regurgitating this historical cycle of garbage and information, the same tactics, the same strategies they used since the dawn of time. They just keep recycling it year over year. So anyway, he's a dark horse candidate. He already sounds like Trump. He was leading the Republican nomination. His economic policy was to actually save money for America, right? His thing was to invest in the gold standard. He believed in hard money policies. He didn't want a central bank. He was one of the few people at the time who didn't believe in central banking. William McKinley was also shot. Guess where he was shot, Andy?
In the dick.
In the dick. At a at the Pan American American Exposition, a world fair.
Like I said, in his head.
One of the world fairs, bro. They assassinated my mans at the world fair. We already know how we feel about those. So more conspiracies within the conspiracy. That tells you it's a real conspiracy. William McKinley, guess what he also believed in? The gold standard. It is a repeating theme in history. Anybody that believes in a gold standard and tries to separate from any world's bank, whether it's the Federal Reserve, the Bank of London, Saddam Hussein believed in a gold standard. We went to war and killed him. Gaddafi, same thing. We went and killed him. There's a list of people. Obviously, those guys were bad in their own right. But when the presidents didn't believe in central banking, we went and killed them. Political leaders from the 70s and on favored central banking system, or from 1790s and on favored central banking system to manage war debts and to stabilize the economy, similar to the Bank of England, right? It seems like they got rid of the presidents who favored a gold standard. We had economic crises and financial panics starting in 1819. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like 8, 9 of these motherfuckers. They all spanned 15, 20 years in between, eventually leading to the Jekyll Island Conference in 1910, where a bunch of bankers and elites secretly met on Jekyll Island off the coast of Atlanta and just up and decided we're going to start the Federal Reserve, and then they went and fucking did it. So pretty fucking wacky. So the thing that circle all this back around, Trump referenced McKinley because McKinley was known as the king of tariffs. He didn't believe in taxing the people. He wanted America to prosper. He would charge all these tariffs for imported goods. So he got fucking killed because he was costing elites and businessmen at the time a lot of money. Trump is believing the same thing. He wants to do the same thing. He wants to impose tariffs on all these imported goods to bring the factories and the work back to America. He called out McKinley. He referenced it. They've already tried to get Trump twice. I'm going to go ahead and say it now. He's not going to make it through 4 years. Just going to say it. Too many similarities to these other two guys. It's not going to happen.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Oh, he's not coming for me. I'm just pointing out a conspiracy theory.
I can learn more from Brad in a 10-minute segment than I can from watching 6 episodes of Mr. McMahon.
Hey, I did some research on this one. I got off of AI and actually did some research.
That's a deep one. This might be my favorite one.
Brad, a couple of really good talking points on that Joe Rogan podcast where I liked how we're not going to talk about who you think should get in. I'm just going to put this out there as the talking points that I did like. I thought Joe Rogan asked him really good questions, and I thought Trump answered as honestly as he could. They asked him about what he had seen with the classified documents on like JFK and things like that, and he said that he had read multiple classified documents, and somebody close to him that he loved and respected asked him not to talk about it in the open. And I thought that was a great response for why he can't say what he wants to say, because obviously there's somebody that's close to him that he respects, whoever that is, and that he has a soft spot for, probably a family member, said, hey, we would appreciate it if you didn't bring that up in public. So with that being said, he said that there is something.
The man that endorsed him, he stepped down from his own party?
I don't know. But I'm assuming where he said it was somebody that loved and respected him. I'm assuming it's somebody that probably is a family member, I would think.
Not his kids.
Who knows? But he did say that there was some stuff that he was going to divulge if he does get back in. And I'm wondering what the possibilities could be if he does debunk some conspiracy theorists and put them, you know, kind of at ease with certain things. Thoughts on that, Brad?
I think, yeah, for sure. And I forgot to mention, so we talked about the Diddy trial and everything that's going on right now, and the list of stars that attended the Diddy parties. Pretty weird that those same people that were listed are now coming out to endorse Kamala Harris. The most surprising, now I know stars do this every election, like that's not new news, right? However, it's the proximity of them to Diddy and now having to come out to endorse it is starting to shock people. Justin Bieber did it, Leonardo DiCaprio, and the most surprising, Jennifer Lopez. I haven't really known J-Lo to be that political. I may need to go back and look up and see if she ever came out and endorsed any other candidate. J-Lo has the most to lose. She was in the club the night Diddy shot somebody and held the gun in her purse. Ben Affleck literally divorced her as soon as they raided Diddy's house because he didn't want none of that. She is sweating bullets. Her legal team is like already trying to mount a defense because they've already been to court for this. This is all over MTV and TMZ years ago. They've already been to court. It's already been settled. They paid out to the victims. It was, you know, kind of swept under the rug. It was forgot about. But now that it's resurfaced, they've got a lot of legal collateral to hang over J-Lo. And all of a sudden, she comes out at a Las Vegas Kamala Harris rally to tell everybody to go vote for Harris. And I was like, man, are y'all trying to prove the conspiracy theorists right? Because this one moment, like, you're kind of making us look like we're not that crazy, you know? This wild shit right now, man. Wild shit.
Brad, let me jump in with the Ricky Gervais thing. Now, do you remember a couple years ago when Ricky Gervais did that kind of roast where he was putting everybody on blast and everybody was laughing about it, where he was calling them this and calling them that, and kind of people were like laughing, but some people had straight faces. And, you know, he just recently dropped a video on social media of him in the bathtub. Did you see that one?
I saw that one, yeah.
No.
It's him in the bathtub, and he's talking about what's going on right now with what you're talking about.
He's about to die.
And you got to see it. I thought I might have sent it to you.
I'll have to check.
I think I sent it to the Phantom. It's pretty good, dude.
Well, you know the bathtub connection, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So if he's in a bathtub and he's exposing shit, that's like the precursor to
being off
a balcony.
Yeah, so I'll send that to you as soon as we get off, so yeah, you can check it. Also, next week's tinfoil hat should be great post election, right? I would imagine you would have something lined up for that. It should be a good podcast next week post election, wrapping up the Vince McMahon. Maybe some other stuff will come out over the course of the week. It should be a good week, right? For podcast news next week.
I'll come up with something good.
All right.
It'll be Trump related, just for Scotty.
I hope it's I won't say
you
it.
You got no skins in the game, Scott. You're north of the border.
Yeah. I voted. You know, again, I said I'm a therapist, right? So I see psychosis.
Another illegal alien voting.
Yep. Imagine that.
I voted often.
That is not my prime minister.
Don't worry. Trump already declared he won.
Hey, Scotty, you will be happy to know that CNN accidentally released a ticker at the bottom of their screen declaring Kamala Harris the winner of Pennsylvania, thus winning the election.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, they put it out and they were like, oh shit, we fucked up, guys. And they pulled it down really quick.
Well, let's just get it done. Let's just get it done. That'd be nice. Yeah,
they already have it computated. They've already counted. She's already won.
So, I just love it gives you a lot of material.
Tons of material.
We always talk about Hall of Famers and who's a true Hall of Famer. I'm going to ask one person on this panel. Is Donald Trump a WWE Hall of Famer? Phantom, take it away.
What do you mean? He beat up Vince McMahon.
One of the few to get a win on Vince McMahon, right? All right, so let's wrap this episode up with some shout-outs. I'm going to go with Scotty this week. Scott, what do you got?
All right. Shout-outs. Shit, there was somebody I wanted to shout-out. Go with me last. All right. I'll remember.
It's so Shaggy, important that I forgot them.
What do you got, Shaggy?
Yeah, I'm going to shout-out to my wife. They borrowed her laptop this weekend. I used my phone.
Fantastic. Raymond, you got a shout out this week? All the guys down at work.
Jack Edwards, they're going to honor him tomorrow night.
What?
Jack Edwards, the Bruins going to honor him tomorrow night.
We have to listen to him one more time?
Yep.
Fuck.
I hope he brushed his teeth at least one back? Time. Ed, what do you got?
Oh, just good to see all you boys this week. That's all I got.
What a guy. Go, Ed.
What a guy.
I got moist.
Jay, that's Man, just playing nasty, bro.
I'm going to shout out the New York Yankees for going out like Little Leaguers. Three errors in one inning. Can't catch a pop fly. Can't throw to third base. Can't cover first. Give me a lot of enjoyment.
I'm going to do a shout out to my boy, the Cotter Sauce. Game winner last weekend. They won 2-0 tonight. He was the only guy that had the two goals. He's been on fire. The kid's doing good things this year. So shout out to the Sauce. Bradford, what do you got?
Yo, my boy Dennis finally came through. We got our Sky Carp caps autographed by his nephew, Ryan. Dennis, I take back every bad thing that the panel has ever said about you. I always said good things. I knew you were going to come through. I wasn't even stressing it. These guys, I don't know. But whatever they said, I take it back, man. They didn't mean it. Thanks for coming through. Hats look great. Thanks for the autograph. The kid loved it. Awesome shit, man.
Nice hat with a sweat ring already getting put in it. There goes the resale value.
Yeah.
Thomas, what do you got?
I'm going to give a shout out to my niece, Taylor. She's picking up the mantle of going to the Comic-Cons and stuff. She went today to the Rhode Island Comic-Con, and she sent me a picture of herself with the dog from Deadpool.
Nice.
Which I thought was hilarious. So I'm glad she's doing it and still having fun. So good job, kid.
Well, Scotty, now's your moment to shine.
So my buddy Scott, who frankly you might remember, he did work at Walmart many, many years ago, tall, tall Scott. He actually had his first kid yesterday. And now he's like 50. So this kid,
Jesus.
Oh my God.
But him and his wife have been trying for a long time. They finally had their baby. And congratulations to them, Mackenzie. So well done. And you'll be the oldest person at preschool.
So how can I close out the podcast without following that one? So
show us your tits.
Later.